Hello and welcome to the Bucket List Gamers podcast. I am Jay and as always I am joined by Eddie.
Hello.
And for this episode we are once again avoiding doing something off the list. The reason I think we explained in the last episode, we have two games left. One of them is number one, one of them isn't number one, but I am currently playing my way through the one that isn't number one and I want to get it finished before we record that episode. So with that in mind, we are doing these lovely filler episodes for you. We believe this will be going on the main channel, but if by some miracle I get the game finished and we manage to record early, this might end up being a DLC episode. So if that is the case, hello and welcome to Bucket List Gamers DLC. My name is Jay and I'm once again joined by Eddie.
Hello.
And on this episode, we are going to talk about Bethesda games because the Fallout TV show has just come out. We want a slice of that pie. So we thought if we put an episode out that mentioned the Fallout TV show, we might get a few more listens. We'll start by talking about the games first. I think it makes more sense. We've covered a couple of them in the list already, haven't we? Skyrim, I believe we've done. Elder Scrolls Oblivion we've done. And at least one Fallout. I can't remember if there were two in there. Was it two?
I think it was three. But I think we talked about four extensively.
Yeah, I think there's still plenty for us to say, although we can't remember, as you've probably just noticed, what we said in the first episode. So if we're repeating ourselves, we apologise, but hopefully we'll come at it from a new angle. So to start off, seeing as we're doing the whole Bethesda thing, what would you say is your favourite Bethesda game? Doesn't have to be Skyrim, Fallout, could be anything across the gambit.
Unfortunately, my favourite Bethesda game isn't actually a Bethesda game. It's Fallout New Vegas. So Fallout's their baby. Fallout belongs to Bethesda. But for one glorious moment, they went, let's get Obsidian, this random little gaming company, to see if they can make a decent Fallout game. And Obsidian went, okie doke, let's show you how it's done. Sort of dusted themselves off and hit it out the park with Fallout New Vegas. And then they followed it up by doing Outer Worlds. So after Bethesda f***ed up Fallout 4, really, kind of, and then did Fallout 76, which wasn't particularly well received, Obsidian sort of came back and went, all right, tell you what, so you like that style of interactive storytelling? Well, let Daddy show you how it's done. And then did Outer Worlds, which was essentially Starfield with a slight Obsidian twist to it.
Yeah, I think we definitely did mention that last time, didn't we? That Outer Worlds, it does Fallout better than Fallout 4 does Fallout, which is which is a bit upsetting because I love a bit of Fallout. And I did get into Outer Worlds for a while, but I never finished it. It was one of those, I think I probably said this last time as well, that I didn't play on it for a short period of time and then I had no idea what I was doing and couldn't face getting back into it. In terms of my favourite Bethesda game, it's a tough one. I don't know, I think I'm probably going to have to go with Redfall.
Wap, wap, wah.
No, the less said about Redfall, the better. I mean, I still don't think it's got better from the initial terrible launch, and it had potential because it was almost a Left 4 Dead, but with vampires type thing, wasn't it? That's what they were going for.
Yeah.
But it's just, I've played it and it is, it's not even that the gameplay's bad, it just runs badly. It runs horrifically even on good computers, and it doesn't look like they've done anything to improve it. Even, I think, the Xbox version runs pretty poorly to say it's a console and it should be streamlined and work across the board. So yeah, not that one. I mean, there's a lot that you don't consider when you're thinking about Bethesda to be Bethesda games. You think about the big ones, but then you look at their page on like what they've put together and you've got the Wolfenstein games, you've got the Doom games, you've got Rage and Rage 2, which actually I really liked. I thought they were pretty good games. Not up to the level of Fallout, but I think they had a lot going for them. The Evil Within and The Evil Within 2, again, decent. Very, very creepy, especially The Evil Within 1. The way the levels, I think the only issue with that game is that it's broke up into chapters, so you never feel fully immersed in it, because you can always sprint to the end and then you know that things can't follow you and you're getting into the next chapter, which I think takes the edge off. Dishonored 2, not my personal favourite games, but I know a lot of people think you quite rate the first one, don't you?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
So there's a lot more to Bethesda than you initially think. And how much involvement they have in all this, I don't know. Like, whether certain, like you say, they list New Vegas on here, but they didn't actually have that much to do with it. But then there's games like, I don't know if you've heard of Hexen. I seem to recall playing that when I was younger. And Quake is one of theirs, which I didn't realise Quake was their game. Never liked Quake, but still, it's a pretty big franchise, isn't it, to not associate with Bethesda when you're thinking about it. Did they buy back catalogues then? Because they've got original Doom and original Wolfenstein listed. And I don't recall their names ever being on them when they came out.
Correct. ZeniMax Media, Bethesda's parent company, acquired ID Software in 2009, and Bethesda absorbed a lot of their properties such as Doom, Wolfenstein, and Quake.
Interestingly, before we look back, worth looking forward, the next game they've got coming out this year is Indiana Jones and the Great Circle, which actually looks pretty decent. Indiana Jones games haven't always been the best, have they, unless they've been point and clicks. They seem to work quite well, but the action games, I know that I think the last first-person indie game or the third-person, that one for N64, and it was just horrifically bad. Yeah. So this one, I mean, it looks good. And you think if they're just going to throw an Indiana Jones license over a Skyrim and sort of modify it to be Egypt or tombs rather than the place that Skyrim's set in, you think that it could work?
It seems like a particularly odd choice, because the last two Indiana Jones films have been utter garbage, so that it's not like there's a massive audience clamouring for more Indiana Jones, and I think most people are soundly of the mind that the character and the franchise just sort of needs to be put to bed, and God help Harrison Ford, because he's got to be nearly 90 now. Doing all these action scenes. And he does do a lot of his own stunts, despite the fact that he's practically in a wheelchair by this point. And at some point, they do just need to go, do you know what? This is one franchise we can't keep digging back up. No pun intended, with it being archaeology. but yeah, so I don't understand why they've suddenly gone, do you know what the world needs? A new Indiana Jones game.
Because the third film, the fourth film, they were sort of pushing towards Shia LaBeouf taking over, weren't they? Yeah. And he was going to be the next Indiana Jones, and then it just fell so flat. And I think he did a few controversial things anyway, didn't he? And they probably went, we don't want to really move in this direction anymore. I mean, I think the issue that's going to be with this Indiana Jones game, just reading through their little blurb, the biggest bit of information on the page is titled Whip-Cracking Action. And it says, Indiana's trademark whip remains at the heart of his gear and can be used to distract, disarm, and attack enemies. But the whip isn't just a weapon. It's Indy's most valuable tool for navigating environment. Swing over unsuspecting patrols and scale walls as you make your way through a striking world. Combine stealth, infiltration, melee combat, and gunplay to combat the enemy threat and unravel the mystery. I feel like this is the issue with Indiana Jones games. They make it all about that bloody whip. And yeah, he uses it a bit in the films, but it's not like the whole film is him just whipping stuff for like 2 hours. He uses it to swing across like maybe one pit. He uses it to knock the gun out of someone's hand. He might use it to, I don't know, to pull a switch or something. But he's not just constantly there lashing people with a whip, is he?
Like... people.
But they seem to focus every Indiana Jones gamer. It maybe as well be called like the whip the game, because he's irrelevant by this point. I had one for Game Gear, and you used to have to, you whip the enemies, you whipped things to swing across, you had to whip bits in the roof to climb up them, you had to whip switches. You couldn't just walk up and push a switch, you had to stand at a distance and whip it. And it just... It's like they just get really carried away with this whip and go, well, what gameplay things can we put behind this? And it's not needed. So I think that's going to be its downfall if it does have one, is that I'm surprised they've not rekindled the Wii remotes and gone, right, now you can really get into the whip in action. Like, that must have been a thing. There must have been an Indiana Jones game for Wii where you could whip. I'm pretty sure there was. Maybe it was that instead of the N64 one I was thinking of. But yeah, that just lends itself perfectly, doesn't it? That one you would expect to just be whipping everything because you've got it in your hand.
Yeah, exactly. And based on the little sort of text bite that they've got there, it sounds like it's going to be predominantly a stealth game.
Yeah,
with
that's
some
what I was
action
thinking.
Bits when you fuck up the stealth, and I hate gameplay that's done like that. It's the old play the game your way. Oh, I'm going to go in all guns blazing. Oh, I'm dead. I best go back into stealth then. And you're forced to play this game in stealth. And Indiana Jones isn't, as a franchise, isn't about stealth. He's not stealthy. He walks in, headbutts a Nazi, shoots another couple, and it's whips one, of course.
Yeah. It does sound like it's going to be Dishonored with a whip.
Yeah.
Basically. Which might work, I suppose, but that puts me off, because I'd love to play a good Indiana Jones game, but like you, I don't... Well, I'm more adverse to stealth games than you are, but I don't just want to be stealth in everything, and we'll come to stealth in a bit, because I do have something to cover regards to stealth. And to go back to my favourite Bethesda game, I think because I'm influenced by the fact I'm playing it at the minute, I'm going to go with Skyrim. But it does just change on a whim for me, depending on... We've started watching the Fallout TV show, which again we'll come to, and now Fallout is right up there, because watching that TV show has just made me want to play the games again. And I actually think I have, objectively, Fallout 3 isn't as good a game as it is in my head, but I think because I've got so much nostalgia for it, I just remember it so fondly. I don't remember all the frustrating die a million times to a deathclaw and not know where I'm meant to be going and run out of ammo for nearly every gun I've got and not be able to do something and missions just completely bug out and you can't finish them and they might be important or you lose some sort of collectible. I think I've put all that to the back of my mind and just gone, oh yeah, it's so much fun playing that game and going in the vaults and all that kind of thing from the TV show. It's just bringing that back, and I almost don't want to play it because I think it's going to ruin the TV show for me if I go back and play it and go, this isn't as good as I remember now. Yeah, for me at the minute, it's Skyrim because I've got massively back into Skyrim. I mean, over the weekend, on the Saturday, I edited some of our episodes together and I was like, I'll just have an hour on Skyrim and then I'll do some more editing. And it turned into a 7.5 hour session of Skyrim where I just did not move. So for me at the minute, that is the one that tops the list. I just think there's so much to it and so much to do. And they seem to have worked out a lot of the kinks, not all of them, but it seems a lot less buggy than New Vegas, Fallout 3, for example. Fallout 4 was the same. I think that was a bit less buggy, but Fallout 4 really disappointed me because I expected so much more. I think they put their focus in the wrong areas in that game.
Definitely.
They put the focus in building camps and protecting camps when that's not what you want to be doing in a Fallout game. You want to go and explore, and that's the predominant thing, isn't it?
Yeah, I think I platinumed Fallout 4. Fallout 4. and the last achievement I needed was something to do with getting a settlement up to like maximum happiness. And I tried for ages, and the increments that the bar was going up in was so small. I literally, there was a way of automating something, and I can't remember what it was because it's been about 8 years since I played the game. And I automated whatever function it was that upped the happiness bar, and I left it on overnight. I switched the TV off and I left it doing its thing. Came down the next morning, shiny little platinum trophy, and I was like, right, I'm done. I never have to play this fucking thing again. And turned it off. Never played any of the DLC. Just didn't go back to it.
Yeah, there's a couple of things in Fallout 4 that I didn't like the building the camps thing. Not because I'm not creative enough and I didn't enjoy it, but just because it was so broken, or it at least felt like it was. You'd put a really nice building together and then the last wall wouldn't line up with the first corner you'd done. And then you'd got a big gap in the wall and there's nothing you could do apart from demolish it all and start again. And then at one point I got into a town and I was like, I'm going to fence the whole town and put a gate on the bridge, and then nothing can get in, nothing can come in and upset the townspeople. And I went round with boards and I fenced all the way around it, and then at one bit there's a river. And then you put the board up and there's a gap that's like big enough for a human to quite easily walk under without ducking between the board and the river. And I was like, well, can I lower it? No. So it's like, right, so I can't build a wall all the way around. I'm going to always have this opening. So I ended up putting a load of turrets and mines and stuff, just pointing at that opening. So if anything tried to use it, they'd just get destroyed. And that was my little workaround. But yeah, it was just, it could have been a lot easier to use, I think, is they'd put a lot of detail into it and not made it particularly user-friendly. And I am 100% sure there are people out there, like these people that build absolute palaces on Minecraft, and they can just visualize it in their head what it's going to look like, and they go and do it. I'm sure there are people like that Fallout 4 who have made these vast kingdoms built up into the sky that you can go and live in and stuff. But I'm just not one of those people, and I ran out of materials too quickly, and I got bored, and I ended up with a little shanty that I was living in with a little stand with all my bobbleheads on and a bed, and that was pretty much it. And I was like, yeah, this is all I need. This is pretty much all I need. And then I went off to do the missions. And the other thing I didn't really like about it was the sort of ham-fisted allegory for slavery with the private eye robot bloke. That storyline was just, it wasn't subtle, was it? There's an underground railroad. Oh, that sounds familiar to literal real life. You couldn't even call it something different. And it just, yeah, that whole thing, I don't feel like it needed to be done the way it was. Like, it felt like they were being a bit preachy and making a point when it's something we already know about. We didn't need this android equivalency storyline in the game. And he was a bit of a boring character anyway as well, wasn't he? So,
yeah, and then they sort of bled that over into your quest for finding your son. Because at the end, depending on how you interact with him throughout the course of the game, because you eventually do find him, and obviously he's grown up a bit. Spoiler warning for those of you that have not played Fallout 4, I guess. But he's sort of pushing this android equality thing, but you can also, so you can either turn against him and massacre all the androids, or you know the usual ending Tron 3000 thing where you pick from one of three options and you get ending, basically. And it all boils down to sort of racism against androids. Yeah. And I was like, where did this come from? Out of a quest to find my son, where the hell did this racism subtext come from?
It just felt lazy, didn't it? And it's like, it's not a subject you should shy away from if you want to put it in a game, but the way they did it just felt really like they'd not put anything into it other than gone, androids are oppressed minorities, the same as real life. Done. That's what we're going to do. They didn't make it clever. They didn't. And it's, I don't know, is it borderline insulting to be compared to sentient robots when you're a race of people? I don't know if that, I mean, we can't speak from that perspective, but for me, it feels a bit insulting.
I would say it probably is, because they do something similar with Detroit Become Human. So again, that entire game is based around android equality, and androids are essentially created to be subservient because they are, and as such, they're viewed as inferior. My problem with it is, I'm assuming the same for the Fallout series, they were created to be subservient as androids.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
So why would you make them look human? That's my problem with it. So if you see someone being, as a human being, your natural instinct when you see someone being oppressed and stuff like that is to have a sympathy reaction to it. You empathize with that individual, whether they're real, whether they're artificial human, whatever. So why would you make them human in the first place in order for them to be subservient? Because it'd be triggering the sympathy response with everybody. So you'd just be there. Wouldn't you just want to make it like an octopus thing with all the robots?
Well, this is the thing, isn't it? Yeah, in Fallout, there are ones like Mr. Handy and whatever they're called that don't look remotely human. So why make the human ones as well? Just leave it.
Yeah,
leave it as those. They can do the same thing. Yeah, it's a very, like you say as well, it's the main story of the game almost. It's not like it's just a side quest for him. It bleeds into everything else, doesn't it? And it just, that that was the storyline I was least interested in. Because as soon as I started playing it, I was like, well, we know what this is meant to be about, and we know where this is going. So I've no real interest in doing it anymore, and I moved off into the other side quests and the other people that I found more interesting. I think if he'd have been a more interesting character, it wouldn't have been as bad. But he's just this dull pastiche of like film noir detective, isn't he? In the trench coat and the hat, and he's just I didn't care for him at all. And also his skills didn't mesh with me at all, because is he like a sniper or something?
Yeah.
And I'm not into the stealthy element of it. So charging into a fight heavy-handed, he was useless. He just stood there and didn't do anything. I think that, for me, was where Fallout 4 really fell down. I think they could have put a lot more of the main story into other bits of it rather than just railroading that through, pardon the pun again.
Yeah. I think as well, when you add on top of it, there's also the underlying hint of racism towards the ghouls.
Hmm.
That are in the game, because no one trusts them, because they're all weird, mutated, freaky-looking people. But, again, there's that subtext as well, and it's just sort of like a massive thing of, oh, well, aren't white people racist? I say, well, yeah, we kind of are sometimes, to be quite fair. We've been a bit shitty throughout history. But do you have to... Is this the only string to your bow, Bethesda? Is this the only thing you're going to talk about?
Yeah, like I don't put a video game on to be browbeaten about something I can't control that wasn't anything to do with me in the past. So it fell down for me, and I'd much rather play New Vegas or 3. I wish they'd do a 3 remake, you know, like they've done with Skyrim, where they just keep tidying it up, polishing it, making it a little bit better. If they did a Fallout 3 with modern day graphics, that'd be perfect for me, but they won't, because they're putting all their eggs into the 76 basket, aren't they? Which launched terribly. It's got better, to be fair, because I do have it. I paid £4.60 for a copy of it, and I don't hate it. I mean, it helps that, I don't know if I mentioned this in the last episode, I started playing it, and you come out of a vault with literally nothing and just get thrown into this world, and there's a sort of semi-tutorial mission that you can go on, and I'm literally stood there in, I think, pants, no weapons, no clothes, no anything, and this bloke in power armor just comes storming over to me, and I'm like, I'm dead. Like, I've literally stepped out of the vault. Here comes someone to just wipe my head off. He must just sit outside the vault waiting for people to come out and obliterate them. And he stomped over to me, and he just stood staring at me, and I did like an emote for hello and waved. And he waved back, and I was like, gun's coming out now. He's just going to blow me away. And then he just, like, chucked a brown paper bag on the floor and sort of, like, went with his eyes and looked at it and then ran, and then, like, stepped back. And I was like, hmm. And I opened it, and it had some, like, half-decent armor and weapons in it for my level. And I picked it up, and he, like, did a thumbs up and then ran off. And I was like, oh, there are good people in the world. But yeah, I was 100% sure I was going to get flattened. But again, Fallout 76 for me doesn't work because there's no NPCs to talk to. I like the fact that it's a cultivated and curated world that you're meant to go around, and everything has its place, and everything, for the most part, is where it should be, waiting for you to go and do the thing that you do with it and interact with it. Whereas Fallout 76 just feels empty apart from other people. And we've covered it in great length in the past. I don't want to deal with other people. I don't like dealing with other people when I have to. So I don't want to do it when I'm trying to relax and enjoy myself. So for me, it's never felt like the thing that I... As a Fallout and Skyrim fan, Elder Scrolls Online and Fallout 76 you'd think would be the perfect thing for me. And I've never felt this affinity for... I don't like online multiplayer games in general. I think I was ruined to it by... What was it called? I can't remember the name of it. It's the one that, like, everything got built on for ages. When, like, Quake and Doom and stuff were coming out, there was that team battle one.
Team Fortress?
No, it was before that. It was exclusively online, pretty much, and it's like a death match, but it was in space. It was, like, an equivalent to Quake 2, wasn't it? And I can't remember what it was called. But that was, like, the engine Unreal for Tournament. A lot of... Unreal Tournament. I think I've been soured to online gameplay by Unreal Tournament, because it was just full of dicks. that was constantly ripping into you and stuff. And from that point on, I was like, I don't want to play with people unless I know them. I had a brief phase of playing COD, but that was with a group of people I knew. And you can't hear the other people, can you? So it's irrelevant, really. But yeah, in terms of Fallout and stuff, it's not how I'd like to enjoy those games.
No, and the whole ESO thing confused the shit out of me, because the whole point of Bethesda games, or particular the Skyrim or the Elder Scrolls ones, is that you can just go in any direction. Do what you want, go in any direction. Whereas Elder Scrolls were sort of, you could go in any direction, but if you went in a certain direction, there was a level 64 Minotaur over there that it didn't warn you, by the way, this area is too high a level for you, you might want to turn back. No, it just let you run in, sword raised, smack this Minotaur, took half a health off it, at which point it just either turned around and flattened you, or as you were running off, it just pursued you. It never gave up, it just carried on. You couldn't fast travel because there was an enemy too close to you, and so you were just stuck in this endless loop. So there is a direction for me to go in the game, and it's not as fun as I thought it was going to be. Thank you.
See, that was my experience in Elden Ring, when they're like, yeah, you can go wherever you want, but if you go over there, you're going to end up getting killed by a bloke who looks like the Burger King mascot. And that is invariably what happened to me over and over and over again. So Skyrim, I have been playing it again. I picked it back up, as I've mentioned. Decided against what turned out to be better judgment to not be an Argonian this time, because I've always been an Argonian, and I thought, I'll go with something different. So I read through them all, and none of them appealed to me particularly, but I was hell-bent on, no, I'm not going to be the same thing over and over. So I went with the closest thing to an Argonian, which I think is probably the Khajiit, because it's also not a human, and immediately regretted my decision, but not immediately enough that I would restart it, because I'd already done quite a bit. So the Khajiit is primarily built around stealth, so I thought, I'll try and do a stealth run. I'm rubbish at it, because especially on Skyrim, they spot you from about 2 miles away.
Yeah.
It's not like you have to make a noise or alert them or anything. You just have to be in eye line. If you can see them, there's a good chance they've already spotted you as well. So I've tried doing stealth multiple times, and I'm still struggling with it, with the bow and arrow and stuff. I need to up my spells and stuff, because that's really how you fight at long distance, isn't it? Which I never do. I always go for close range melee or weapon combat. So that's the other thing they get. If you don't have a weapon in your hand, they do like really powerful attacks with their fists. But after about 5 minutes of Skyrim, you always have a weapon in your hand, or at least one to your disposal. So that's useless as well. So I've picked literally like hard mode, basically, to play it on by picking the Khajiit. No one really likes them either. So you've still got the Argonian thing of no one likes them, because they're seen as like sneaky and thieves. And also I don't get underwater breathing, which so far hasn't been a problem, but I know it's going to be. And also I'm not resistant to disease, which I'm used to being as an Argonian. So I just keep getting poisoned constantly and then dying. And I just don't remember the game being as hard as it is, or as I'm finding it. Like, I only played the original Skyrim, the one that came out on, was it 360 initially?
360, yeah.
I had that version. Then I bought the upgraded version for Xbox One and never played it. I think I said before, I played it for about 2 hours, lost the disc, and found it about 8 years later. So never really played that. And now I've got the Xbox Series X. I don't know what version it is, but it's the one that's on Game Pass, so I don't even have to worry about putting the disc in. Got that with all the expansions, apart from the new ones that they still want 15 quid for even today, which is bizarre. Started playing that one, and yeah, I don't remember it being this difficult. I've about level 15, 16 now, so you think I'd be high enough that most things aren't going to bother me. But no, I just get massacred. If I go to a place and it's full of mages, I may as well run the other way, because there's no chance I'm going to get close enough to them before they just set me on fire and I'm dead. And it's happened multiple times. I went into one cave, and it's one of those situations where I know it's going to be a mission later, but I've not triggered it yet. But I thought, well, I'll clear it out while I'm here, and then when I go and speak to that person, it'll just be a matter of, that's already done, here's your money. Went in, first three, four rooms in there. Yeah, nothing really troubled me. I was picking things off with my bow and arrow. I thought, I'm doing good here. Got to the fourth room, sneaking around, took a few more people out, get into the main room. And there's about four people dotted about, so I took out a couple. Big cat in a cage, locked up, a saber cat in the middle. And then the guy who's like the main boss just wandering around nearby. I'm like, I've got a key for that cage. If I go and unlock that cage, the cat will come out and kill him and it'll do my dirty work for me. Bang on. Went down, unlocked the cage. The cat immediately turned on me and started savaging me. They all heard it, obviously. So they ran along and started attacking me instead of the cat. So I just got annihilated and died. So I went in again, did it the second time, unlocked the cage and ran as fast as I could so it went for them because they were closer. They immediately killed it, didn't take any damage whatsoever from it. Then the main guy who got like a huge Warhammer thing came running up to me. I had full health and it did like a cutscene. You know, like when you kill people and you take their head off and it does the cinematic camera. It immediately went into one of them before it even swung at me. And he just battered my head in with this big hammer and then I died. And I was like, did it always have these cutscenes? Because I don't remember like enemies having finisher moves, essentially, that wipe out your whole health in one hit. So, and the only reason I managed to do it, because I was just going to leave and come back later, I thought, I'll give it one more crack. So I picked a load of them off with arrows, so it was me, him, and like two others. And I just kept running and turning around and throwing fireballs, run, turn, throw fireballs. It didn't work. He barely took any damage. So I pegged it back to where I'd come from and went into the like next room where it did a loading screen to heal. Healed up, came back in, and they'd all just disappeared. They weren't dead. There was no bodies, but they'd all just disappeared. And because I'd already got this key, I could go and unlock the chest and take all the good loot and just leave. But now I'm pretty sure when I get to the person who gives me that mission, they'll say, go and kill the leader, and I can't because he's not there anymore. So I think I'm already on a bugged run where I can't do everything even if I wanted to. But yeah, it just seems very difficult. And it even popped up the other day, and I don't know if it was doing this to goad me or whether it's just one of the hints in rotation. It's like, did you know you can go into the menu and change the difficulty of combat, even during combat? And I was like, thanks. if this is an indictment of how I'm playing, I'm not happy about it. But I'm getting there with it, and I've not given up. There was one bit where I nearly did, because I played for about 20 minutes exploring, didn't ever go into anywhere, so it never quicksaved. I forgot to quicksave, and then a frost troll killed me in one hit, again, with one of these like finishing move things, and I lost about 20, 25 minutes, and it got turned off after that, but I have gone back to it since. So, yeah, I am enjoying it again, which I did the first time. I never finished it, so my aim is I'm actually doing the main story at the minute. But again, the main story of that is really boring compared to all the side plots and stuff.
Yeah, aside from the fight with Alduin, which they massively hype up as this elder dragon that's come back, and he's they refer to him as a demon. He's that powerful of a dragon, and you have a 2.5 minute fight with him, and the fucker falls over. And you're like, is that it? I've actually been more troubled by the standard dragons that are just flapping around, because I'll just be walking through to go and drop off a quest with someone in this village, and I'll hear this shriek from the sky, and then before you know it, I'm on fire, and I haven't got any healing potions because I've gone nowhere near a shop. So I just die, restart.
The first wild dragon I encountered, I don't know if it's the landscape I was on or what, refused to land. And I haven't got any shouts yet. Or I only had like the most basic one. So it just literally kept flying around me, setting me on fire until I died. Yeah. I was like, what can I do? If you don't land, I can't even attack you. So, and I like ran halfway across the map trying to find some flat land. And I don't know if it was bugged or what, but it just literally loop, fly over the top of me with flames, loop, fly over the top of me with flames, constantly, until, in fact, I think it did. It killed me, and I just thought, I'm not going to go that way this time. So I've not been back there yet. But yeah, it's more fun, actually, than I remembered it being so far. There's so much, and again, I don't know if it's because the expansions are included and there's more stuff in the regular world, but I'm finding stuff that I never encountered in my original playthrough. Just random stuff as well, like there was an orc in the middle of the woods who's like, I'm ready to die, but nothing's come along that's strong enough to kill me yet. And I was like, well, I'll be that thing. And I wasn't strong enough either because he killed me immediately. So the second time I triggered it, because I'd just saved beforehand, I'll use one of those scrolls for, is it like a Frost Atronach or whatever, those big like monster things. I literally triggered the fight, ran away, cast this scroll, and then it just battered him to death. But now I'm worried that maybe if you fight him properly at some point, he like begs for his life and you can get something. And I didn't get that because the thing just destroyed him in like three hits. So I might have ruined a mission or a quest there as well. But that was the other thing that I was going to mention with the stealth. I think we sort of just covered it. It is a thing in Skyrim, but it's just so hard to do it. There's certain things you can do, like pickpocketing unsuspecting people, which falls into the stealth category, is easy. But to play an actual dungeon stealthily is nearly impossible because they barely have to see you and they know you're there. It's like they've got eyes in the back of their head, some of them. They just turn around and start beaming towards you. And I just don't think it's the most fun way to play Skyrim. It's all right if you like sneak into a room, pick one person off with a bow and arrow and then go in all guns blazing. But to consider doing the whole thing in stealth, just, I couldn't even comprehend it.
No, I, like you, had the 360 version, so that one never had any updates for it, anything like that. Mm. It was just plain old vanilla Skyrim. And then I got the version for the PS4, like you, I've got the one on the Games with Gold or what have you, and I think they've got one on the PS Plus that's free as well. And I've not played any of them. And after a certain amount of replays of Skyrim, I, as I do with nearly every Bethesda RPG, I challenge myself to not steal stuff.
Yeah, because that's what I wander
around nicking everything, and I end up completely overpowered with more money than God. No issues with health potions because I've just nicked them anyway. So I challenge myself trying to be a, in quotes, good person and not steal anything or break in anywhere unless a mission requires it. And even the lockpicking, if you don't do it as a matter of course, so if you're not going around lockpicking everything and improving your skill, when it comes to a point in the story where you need to lockpick, it is so unbelievably hard. The lockpicking minigame in it is shite. It's awful if you are not used to it.
I've been lockpicking everything, even if I don't want to open it, just to get my stats up enough. Because I think there's one, isn't there, up far enough up the skill tree where it's like lockpicks don't break, and I want that, so I never have to worry about it. But in the course of playing the game, I've now got about 80 lockpicks. So if they break, it's not the end of the world, but it would just be easier so that if they don't break, you can just nudge it rather than having to go dead center again and try and figure out where you were on the little spectrum of lockpicking. And it's one of those where I've been playing it and getting through it, and I don't remember a lot of it, and I really thought I would. And I've been second-guessing things like, oh, I think when I go in here, this is going to happen, and then it doesn't. And I don't know if that's because I'm not remembering it right or because something's changed in these updates or what, but I've gone to the Shivering Isles, which is the first expansion, I think, that came out for it, and I'm stuck there because just before I went, I put all my gold in my chest and then set off on this mission, and he doesn't charge you to take you there. But then I would turn around and I was like, actually, no, I want to go back because I want to get some stuff out of my chest. Oh, it's 250 gold to go back. I was like, well, I haven't got any gold. So now I've had to go and do missions on the Shivering Isles just to get enough money to sail home so I can get to my actual money that's locked away in a chest. It's just that's a bit of an oversight in that I thought your gold, even if it was in your chest, you could still spend it, but apparently not. Apparently that's not a thing. So I am currently stranded on an island where a load of cultists want to kill me, and I'm just having to deal with that now. So that's Jay's Skyrim progress. I'm sure I'll update in future episodes whether I've either got bored of it or I'm still cracking on and getting better and better. But the other thing we wanted to talk about, we'll go on to the Fallout TV show next before we move on to more personal matters. Have you watched any of it yet?
I haven't, but I have heard good things about it. I've currently got about 3 to 4 different series on the go, and I think Fallout would be the straw that broke the camel's back if I started that. So I'm holding off, and I have every intention of watching it. I have, however, seen a lot of news reports on it, and I've seen a lot of reviews that are remarkably positive, really.
Yeah, we've started it. So I got the projector out to watch WrestleMania a couple of weekends ago, and we cast it on the full wall. So we watched it in, like, I don't know, 100-inch screen or whatever it is. And because I'm lazy and I never do anything outside of playing games and recording this podcast, I hadn't put it away, so it's still there. So we're like, well, we may as well watch Fallout on the big screen while we're at it. So we're 3 episodes in, because it is a bit of an ordeal to get moved around and watch it on the big screen, so we've not been able to binge it fully. But yeah, I really like it, and I was on the fence as to whether I was going to do, because usually when... it's usually books to films, isn't it? If you really enjoy a book and then they bring a film or a TV show out, and you're constantly going, that's not right, that's not right, they've changed that. And with this, there isn't an awful lot of that, I don't think. I'll try and refrain from any spoilers, but the first thing I noticed that is different to the games is that, because it follows 3 different people, at least, from where I'm up to, going around the wasteland. So there's 3 different main characters, as it were, that all end up interacting with each other and whatnot. And the first one is a girl in a vault. So the whole thing's about a girl getting ready to get married in the vault, and she's marrying somebody from an adjacent vault, and they're doing a trade. So they're essentially, her dad's essentially selling her. They're giving her a husband, and he's giving them crops and stuff.
Right.
And they've got underground connectors between the 2 vaults, which isn't in the games.
No.
The games, you have to go overworld to overworld, don't you, to get to the vaults. Whereas in this, it's like Vault 33 and Vault 34 have got a little door between them, like in a hotel, where you can just go between the two. So that bit sort of put my back up, because that's within the first couple of minutes, and I was like, this isn't a thing in the games. They're changing stuff already. But other than that, I don't think anything's changed that much since I've watched the rest of it. So that's quite nice that they're not changing too much, and they're keeping it really close to the source material. And there's loads of little in references for fans of the series. So the bobbleheads are all over when she goes into shops and stuff like that. And the Vault Boy character is actually a part of the story. I won't say more than that, but that comes into it. And I think they've said that it is canon to the games as well. So this is like, it's not a spin-off, it is part of the game's lore from this point on.
Yeah, from what I understood from some of the articles that I've read, it makes one of the Fallout 4 endings canon. So obviously, right, at the ending of Fallout 4, you can choose to side with the Railroad, you can choose to side with the Minutemen, that sort of thing. But because the frigate, so the Brotherhood of Steel air balloon, is still in the sky, and it's not where it should be in the game, so it's moved
right
since then,
yeah,
it makes the Brotherhood of Steel ending canon.
The correct one.
Technically,
yeah,
it makes that the canon ending for the game. So, that I mean, that's quite nice that they've mixed the two universes.
Yeah, and there is some nice little references in it. Like, I think my favourite bit at the minute, so there's one of the 3 main characters is a ghoul, who's like a cowboy ghoul almost, and the girl and from the vault and him have this interaction, and she says, oh, you're not following the golden rule of being in the vault, which is like treat everybody how you'd like to be treated. And he sort of gives her a scathing look, and then he says, they're on this like quest line essentially, and then they have to deviate and do something completely different. And he's like, oh yeah, there's a golden rule of the wasteland as well. Thy will always get distracted by other bullshit. And it's like, that is literally like the game, isn't it? They've put that in there specifically for people who play the game. And I was like, that is a nice touch, because people who didn't play the game wouldn't get the reference, but it makes sense. But people who play the game will be like that Leonardo DiCaprio meme where they're like pointing at the screen. So that was nice. And there's loads of little in bits. There's been a few of the enemies from the game in it so far. I think the first one, or maybe the second one that they go into, is the Yao guy, you know, the bears. I thought of all the ones to include, that was, you don't really encounter them that much in the game, do you? It's not
No.
They're not like a huge part of it. So that was interesting. There's been a Rad Roach. And then on last night, there was a thing, the one I watched last night, there was a thing, I can't remember what they called it, but it was just like, because they're near some water. And I was like, oh, it's going to be Milurks or Milurk Kings or Milurk Queens.
Yeah.
And then it was this like huge axolotl, massive axolotl with human arms and hands. And in its mouth, it's got loads of fingers. And when it like tries to eat people, the fingers pull them in. And I was like, I don't remember that in the game, but maybe it's in an expansion I haven't played, or it's in 76 or something, but it wasn't familiar to me. So whether they've come up with a few new horrors in the Wasteland for the TV show, I'm not sure. If anyone knows, let us know on Facebook or Instagram.
I think it's probably quite an easy series to do that with.
Yeah.
Because obviously it's nuclear radiation and like a post-apocalyptic hellscape, so they can just sort of, they can do the bread do and butter of Fallout enemies and then just go, oh, do what you f***ing want with the rest of it.
Yeah, which it was a really good enemy. Like, if that was in a game, I would genuinely be terrified of it. It was scarier than anything in Fallout 3 and Fallout 4 that I've encountered. But I'm assuming there's going to be a Deathclaw. You can't do it without a Deathclaw, can you? So I'm assuming that's coming up in later episodes. But no, from the point that I'm up to, really, really faithful to the games. A lot of the brands are in it. So, like, you know, you find, like, the food, like the deviled eggs and stuff. Yeah. All of those feature in it. There's some new ones, which I've not seen in the game, that's in the TV show that they actually make use of. There's, I think, the first 5 minutes of the first episode, Gronak the Barbarian gets referenced, which is quite a deep cut compared to a lot of stuff in Fallout. So, yeah, you can really see that the people who have made it have obviously either played the games a lot or really studied the games to make it feel like it's part of the same universe. And I'm really enjoying it. And a couple of friends I've got have finished it, and they've said they really hope there's going to be another series. So I don't know if it wraps itself up and then... But this is the thing about Fallout, isn't it? There's a million stories to be told in that universe. You don't even have to follow the same characters. You don't have to set it in the same time period. You don't have to follow it in the same people, the same vaults. It could be in a different country. There's so many different things you can do with it. I think if this is a success that I think it's going to be, they'd be stupid not to keep doing it.
Yeah, I think that it's like the Star Wars universe in that sort of respect. It is, the possibilities are literally endless for what they can do if it is successful. Like The Last of Us series, obviously yet another video game to TV series translation that I think it won 8 Emmys out of the 24 it was nominated for, which is phenomenal for a video game translation. Most of them are quite either period dramas or they're sort of thrillers or dramas that these nominations, but for something that came from video games to be that held in that high acclaim and watched by people that weren't just video game players. I think The Last of Us is pretty finite in what you can do with it, because they've tried to follow the beats of the story, and get invested in Ellie and Joel, and it's a bit like The Walking Dead in that you don't really want to stray too far from those two core characters, whereas Fallout, because the protagonist doesn't have a voice in the games, you don't get attached to them, so there's no necessity to sort of keep going with the same shit. You can just do whatever you want with it.
They could have done Vault 222 or whatever it was in number 4. They could have done that, and they could have followed a lot of the beats, like you say, with the Minutemen, with the Underground Railroad or whatever they're called. They could have just copied that, and it would have been a decent TV show, but people that played the games would know what was going to come. But the fact that they've gone, no, we're using the Fallout world, all the core components, so like the trash cannon gun is in it in one of the episodes. You get those little shanty towns. You've got, like, she went in a shop and there was a mini nuke on the shelf to be bought if you've got the weapon to use it and all that kind of thing. And you've got all the enemies there, but the characters are all brand new. And yes, they're affiliated to a vault, or they're affiliated to the Brotherhood of Steel, which are established, but they're not established characters in the universe, so you can do whatever you want with them. You can kill them off if you want in the second episode. It wouldn't make a difference because they're not established characters. So yeah, I think they've been really clever in taking the environment and then just setting it completely separate and just going, it's the Fallout that you know and love. but here's a load of new people that we can do whatever we want with. So yeah, I'd recommend going and watching it if you've not already. I'm sure it'll be in Eddie's rotation at some point and we'll be able to talk about it once we've got through all of it. But the other thing we wanted to talk about before we wrap this up is the future of the Bucket List Gamers podcast. So as you know, we've got two episodes left and we know what we're going to do for those, obviously. After that point, though, we are a bit up in the air because we've mentioned before we've got a PlayStation and a Nintendo book of 100 games to play before you die from Retro Gamer again. Same idea, except these aren't in an order. They're just thrown together 1 to 100, not in any sort of order. So, like, yeah, we're going to do those and we're going to maybe intersperse them until one of our Patreons, Harry Flynn, decided to bring a magazine back from holiday called The 100 Games You Must Play, The Best, The Greatest, The Most Awesome by 110% Gaming. And it's full of games we haven't covered at all. I think there's about maybe less than 10 that cross over.
Yeah.
So it seems to me like the logical thing to do would be to just move on to this book and do this one. And then we'll go to the PlayStation and the Nintendo one. Where again, I don't think there's actually that much crossover to this book. So we'll probably get a nice little break in between. And then the games that do cross over in there that we've already looked at, we'll probably be ready to look at again.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you agree, but I think the future of the channel is probably going to be the best, the greatest, the most awesome for Series 2.
Well, I mean, it's fitting because we are. but I think it'll
I think
nice
there,
to...
there are many, many polls and lists that would disagree with you on that one.
Probably, but there's nothing wrong with having a bit of an ego. But I think if we don't technically have to have such a hard focus on the grading side of it, because that's caused us quite a bit of a headache, getting to the end of an episode and going, I don't know how to grade this because it's crap, or I don't know how to grade this because it's just middling and bland, and or, oh, I really love this game, but I know there's other stuff coming up that so I can't really grade it too highly, whereas this will be a nice sort of refreshing break. And it covers quite a lot of modern games as well by the sounds of that list. So there's going to be stuff that we would never have got out of those other two magazines as well as the Retro Gamer one that we've already nearly done.
I think the other thing is as well that because it's not put in that caveat of to play before you die, which I know it's in the name of our channel now and we're sort of stuck with it, but this isn't saying these are the 100 games you've got to fit in before you die. So I think we can be a little less harsh on them maybe in terms of, yeah, maybe it's not for us, but I can see why they've included it. And I also think, like you've just said with the rating system, I'm coming up with this on the fly, so maybe we will refine it down or change it at some point. But maybe instead of a numbers 100, 1 to 100 system, we do a tier list and like do it S to D or something. And then each game we just put in one of those ranks each episode rather than doing a 1 to 100 and it just getting very messy because we're, like you say, we're going, oh, well, that's already got 90, so we don't think this is good, so we need to go lower. You can stick it in the same rank as another game or below it fairly easily, so that might be an easier way. But yes, I think for anyone wondering what we were going to do once we finished this list, it is the best, the greatest, the most awesome Series 2 of the Bucket List Gamers podcast. So thanks to Harry Flynn for that one, for bringing us that home and expanding our workload. But no, genuinely, it is. It's actually laid out better than the Retro Gamer magazine. It is a magazine. I mean, this is still on sale, so if anyone does want to completely spoil the next series for yourself, you can go and pick this up for $6.99 from most newsagents. It's for kids, this magazine. I'm pretty sure it's for kids. I'll tell you why I think that. Because on the inside cover, they're advertising a book called Kids Collection Puzzler. Puzzles picked by kids for kids, bursting with boredom, busting fun. And then in the back cover, there's an advertisement.
I'm not sure you could have said that in any more of a bored way.
There's an advertisement for the 110% Gaming magazine, which must be a, I don't know, monthly, weekly, whatever. And it sells it as love gaming, then you'll love 110% gaming magazine. Epic gifts every issue. And then there's a picture of the epic gifts. And I know you guys at home won't be able to see this, but I'm just going to show it to Eddie and gauge his reaction on the epicness of these gifts.
Oh, good God. Right.
Okay. I mean, I don't know what this is, this thing on the end.
No,
but...
neither do I. I'm assuming it's like a stress ball.
So there's a stress ball that vaguely looks like Bomberman or an Among Us thing, but it's perfectly spherical. There's a pair of pixelated shades. I don't know, I think that's a stress ball shaped like a controller. A Pokemon sticker pack and some pro gamer earphones that look anything but pro. I mean, they look like something you get out of a Christmas cracker. But I'm not slighting the magazine, because as I said, this actually has a better layout and probably more information in it than the Retro Gamer one we did. It's a page per game. It's got the year, the platform, a little fact, a little snippet, a nice big picture. I mean, I think it's good for what we're using it for. I think it's probably better. So up your game, Retro Gamer magazine. Because 110% gaming have done it better, is what I'm essentially saying. But that brings me nicely onto the Patreons, actually, because one of them brought us this lovely magazine, so I will give him the honour of the shout-out this week. In the Couple of Coins tier, we have got Harry Flynn. In the Bucket Kicker tier, we've got Ric Flair. And in the Avatarnished tier, we've got the Sweaty Llama, who has written a quiz for us. This is the first time revealing of this to you, actually. I have meant to have asked you about this multiple times, and you'll know I've been lying to him now because I said that I've mentioned it to you, but I've been keeping it a secret. He's written a quiz, and I've just been waiting for the right time for us to get in the diary to do it, and he said that he's nearly got it finished. So a DLC episode coming soon will be Jay versus Eddie in a quiz hosted by the Sweaty Llama. So... there's an exclusive for you. And unless you've got anything else you want to cover in the gaming world, I mean, we've done a pretty good job this week, given we had nothing else to talk about. We've managed to cover off some fairly big hitters in the world of gaming, in terms of
the
Fallout series. I know, yeah. It's unbelievable. We did say this would be a short one, so I'm surprised we have got to an hour.
That's not an hour and a half, so...
Yeah, true. Unless you've got anything else to add, is there anything gone on in the gaming world that you want to raise?
No, not currently. there is stuff that has happened, but I'm happy with the fact that we've kept it to an hour, so I will bolt it on.
I feel like we've not done enough. I'm trying to spin it out because we've only done an hour. What's happened to us?
It's because we got this new book.
It is. I'm in high spirits because I'm actually looking forward to doing that book, because there is some quite fun games in there. There's some dross, I'm not going to lie. It's not going to be all plain sailing, much like the other one was, but I am looking forward to it. So we'll leave you on that happy note, and before we get dragged into talking about something else, I will say that is goodbye from me.
And that's goodbye from me.